We're in a stranger's house, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just going to start digging through your cabinets.
Yeah.
Also, Tosh,
yeah.
do you know these people, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Are we in the right house?
Yeah, this is the right house.
Okay, good. Because Courtney was not sure.
It's ridiculously loud.
Was that satisfying? That's the way to start off the podcast.
Yeah. if we use that in the intro, they're going to think something significant happened. Like,
yeah,
1
exactly.
millionth download. Like, no, nope,
I haven't checked stats. We might have broken 3K. We'll call it that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, hey, we're in Cayman. We've got a stereotype to uphold.
That's
here,
right. You guys can hear the bubbles.
Yeah, I can absolutely hear the bubbles.
I noticed that was, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What's the weather like down there, fellas?
I don't want to have this conversation right now. It's 60s and almost sunny.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Hey, so I wanted to, I thought it'd be fun for us to all sit around and talk about, well, you know, so Tosh is a Python developer, so he kind of lives in our world. Tosh and I used to work together for a consulting firm out in D.C., doing Django Dev for PBS and a couple other media companies out there. But also, like, you've got this really, I think, a pretty unique job in programming, obviously, because we're here on an island. And how long have you been living down here?
Going on 5 years.
Now. Yeah.
Real so quick. Sorry. Yeah. Before we dig into the meat, to set context for everybody who's probably not aware, Casey's not in office. He is.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He is
from location.
He is on remote. He is remote.
That's right. Yes.
With guest, on location.
No less.
Yes.
Yes. We're remote with the guests. The guests and I are together, but we're both remote on Seven Mile Beach, Grand Cayman. Cayman Islands, obviously, I guess. But yeah, so I thought we could talk. I wanted to kind of pick your brain a little bit and hear about how you ended up down here.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people ask. Every time I've come down here, this is probably my fourth or fifth trip down here. And people are always like, oh, wow. How do you, you know, like, that's cool. You go down there all the time. I was like, well, we have friends down there. And they're like, oh, make friends that live down there. I was like, well, they didn't live down there when I became friends yeah. with them. Like, I made friends with people that lived in Amarillo.
Yeah.
So I don't know how to tell you how to reproduce that. But yeah. People always wonder, like, how do you get a gig down here? And it's actually, I would imagine, extremely difficult, if not impossible, right?
It requires a lot of luck, yeah.
Right. So how did you end up down here? And then I'll ask you about, like, where you actually work and all that stuff.
Yeah, so we actually just came down on vacation. And while we were here, I just met a guy, like, in the swimming pool. we got to talking, and he was asking what I do and stuff, you know. I told him I was a programmer, and he's like, oh, man, I need to talk to you. He's like, we're trying to hire some people. And I was like, oh. Interesting. Okay. He's like, you want to go out on a boat tomorrow? And I was like, yeah.
That's normally that invitation doesn't end that well. I watched a lot of Dexter. I know not to go on a boat.
Just don't watch the ending.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, and then yeah, I went up and had lunch with him and talked to a few people up there, and then like it was maybe 3 weeks later we were living here. So we didn't mess around.
I remember you told me that when you were down here, I think you, like, you IM'd me and said, like, hey, I met someone down here and, like, I did, like, an interview. Or did they fly you back? They, like, flew you back for a second interview?
No, it's just Skype. We did.
Just Skype. Okay.
Yeah. Please tell me the interview was on the boat.
Yeah.
More or less.
Yeah, the first interview was on the boat, yeah.
did you have a computer? Like, were you... Like, were you, or did he have you like whiteboard code?
Did you have to
while
do,
the boat was going?
Did you have to do like fizz buzz in fish guts or something on the boat?
A little more free form. Yeah. Okay.
That was the culture interview.
Yeah. Oh, culture fit.
I was like, so do you like boats? And yeah. Okay, cool. You passed the culture interview.
You're in. Yeah. How do you do in the sun? So I think you messaged me and said like that had happened. And then it was, I think it was like 2 weeks later. Yeah. It was 3 weeks you were here, but 2 weeks later you were like, hey, so we're moving out of the country and going to live on an island.
Yeah,
I was like, that's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
To write Python for a domain, was it a registrar at the time?
Registrar, yeah.
And now it's a registrar and a registry?
Well, the registry existed at the time, yeah.
Okay, got also, it. Got so, it.
But it's both, yeah. Difference. So the registrar is what most people see, right, and you interact with. So when you go to a website to buy a domain, you're interacting with the registrar. So registrars essentially resell, not necessarily resell, resell is not the right word, but they sell domains, and the handles the back end of actually doing the registration of the domain.
Got it. Are most registrars also registries?
No.
Got it.
There aren't a ton of registries, actually. And a lot of registrars don't have their own registry, and they just use someone else.
Got it. So, like, GoDaddy.
GoDaddy is both,
both. What about, like, Namecheap?
Namecheap is just a registrar.
Got it.
They're not a registry. They use Two Cows, I think, or something like that. I can't remember exactly.
GoDaddy used Two Cows for a long time.
Yeah,
Two Cows
is one of the big ones.
So I'd seen Two Cows around a lot, and just like in Whois records and stuff like that, even in some of my own domains, and I didn't know who they were and what the deal was. But that makes sense. It's like a back office for the registrars.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to now make Tosh talk about his work environment, because it's fucking ridiculous. Not only is it on an island, but you guys, actually, maybe I shouldn't have him talk about it with employees from Lofty, like, on the call. Are you guys hiring for Python developers?
Maybe.
Like a whole team of them?
Yeah. Yeah.
What At would least you do with two.
About 10 people? Yeah. Yeah. So tell us about, can you tell us about work life at your place?
Yeah. Work life is not bad. It could be. I've worked in worse places. Yeah, it's nice.
You have, you're not far off of Governor's Beach, right?
Yeah, across the street. Yeah.
So you can go straight out to the beach.
Yep.
How do you start your day over there? What time and what's happening?
I go in pretty early because I'm old.
Define pretty early.
I normally go in about 7:30 or so.
Okay,
that's pretty early.
That's respectably early.
Yeah. So I go in pretty early, and then we have a chef, so we get breakfast, and they make breakfast at 8, and then have a little breakfast.
Some salmon for breakfast,
tell me it's just all bananas. That's what I want. I just want it to just be bananas.
It's just boiled.
It'll make me feel better. It's just plantains, exactly. That's all you eat.
Boiled green bananas. Yeah. Salt fish.
I've gone over there and had lunch a couple times. I didn't go last year. I will ask for the invite.
Yeah,
I won't be like your friend that won't ask for the invite and never gets to go. I will ask for the invite to go eat. But the last time I went, it was pretty ridiculous. And we had like lobster for lunch and all kinds of shit. That seaweed salad. Is it the same chef?
No, we got a new chef, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. This guy's really good, too.
Chef Remy was the old guy?
Chef Remy was the old one, yeah. He left. He's doing his own thing now. He had a restaurant and stuff when he was working for us as well, but... He left and he's doing his own thing.
Is he still on the island?
He is still on the island, yeah.
Sweet.
He's doing like a personal chef kind of business. He's doing really well with
that. I could have known that I couldn't afford to actually go eat wherever he was cooking now. Especially if it's like, if it's personal chef in your home. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's pretty sweet. I mean, you guys seem to do real work and get work done, though.
Yeah, we do, unfortunately, have to do real work.
How big is the company if you've got your own chef?
Well, we have a few different offices. We have three offices.
I thought you were going to say you have a few different chefs. I was like, what?
Well, they have three offices, so I guess they
actually also do have... Yeah.
No, actually, we're the only ones that get our own chef. This is the main office here, so most of the employees are here. We're the only ones that get a chef.
I'm convinced. I mean, I'm convinced that the reason why you guys have those kind of amenities is specifically because you're here. Mm-hmm. That no one would show up to work if there weren't breakfast prepared in the morning.
Yeah, it definitely helps.
And no one would come back from their like 11 a.m. swim if there wasn't lunch made when they got back.
Now we know how to leverage to get our own chef, Alan.
Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah, take notes in here. Take notes.
Yeah. So I'm like, we don't want to, I don't want to trouble, like, dig maybe too deep into DNS stuff. You said.
It's not super exciting.
Well, man, I don't know anything about it from the outside.
Yeah. And I'm not a DNS expert either, by the way.
But you're working on the guts of a lot of it, right?
Yeah. And we actually have a couple of guys who are like our resident DNS experts that do most of the low level, actual DNS stuff, you know?
Right.
So I don't get into that stuff very often. And luckily, we don't have to do a lot of it. That stuff hasn't changed in
pretty
like 30
solid
years.
State. You know what I mean? So what do you guys do? What's like a lot of the projects, like a typical project that you would work on?
Well, and actually, I just lied. So DNS does change. A lot of our work now for the DNS guys, especially in DNS-related things, is bringing on just new TLDs now that there's so many new TLDs, and we try to support as many of those as possible.
Right.
And some of that gets pretty crazy, and there's no real... The world of DNS is insane, right? Like, there's no real standard on how this stuff should work, and it's been around so long that everything is garbage, basically. You know, it's like protocol. What? No, we just pass text back and forth. Right? you have to write your own parser, and you know,
and
everyone's
that's,
different.
That's something I didn't realize because you had told me about this in the past. That like when a new TLD comes on, that's not like because there's not some standard. Like you have to go do work to support .dev when it became available.
Yes, yeah, every TLD
requires some amount of like one-off work to parse the shit that the who owns the TLD, is there a name for that, like the issuer or something like that?
It's a registry. Yeah.
So their registry will like publish some standards for that domain that you have to then go write
if you're lucky
to support. Okay.
If you're lucky, they'll publish standards. Yeah. Otherwise it's just like try it and oh, that didn't work. Well,
did you guys know that like that system was kind of the Wild West? We also have like pool bound children walking by the door, is what you hear.
So gotcha.
That's not us getting excited in the middle. But yeah, I didn't know that. I want to Tyrell. You guys can chime in, but
yeah, no,
I found that pretty fascinating.
Yeah, totally. You know, that's I kind of had flashbacks of parsing JSON and C, kind of a thing there. Yeah.
Yeah, and there is actually a protocol does exist. It's called EPP, which is designed to be the protocol for dealing with registry. But unfortunately, everyone's free to implement whatever they want in EPP, and not everyone implements the standard. And
so EPP is not exactly a standard as much as it is like a syntax.
Yeah, it's kind of a suggestion. You know? Yeah, and that goes so it gets really crazy, right? So you have like the TLDs that are like, you know, .com and everything, and then you have like the GTLDs that are like, you know, .whatever,
.guitar.
.guitar, yeah. There you go. And so those are called GTLDs, and those are the ones the registries have. And then you get into the world of CCTLDs, which are like the country code TLDs. And that gets really insane because all of the other TLDs fall under ICANN, right? So there are some requirements they have to meet and things like that, and certain...
Like emailing me 9 times a year to update my email address, I assume is one of those requirements.
Yeah, it is, yeah. But when you get into CCTLDs, those are owned and run by governments, and so they can do whatever the hell they want, and they do. Like, and some of them are insane, you know? Like, it's nuts.
I know that, you know, was it like Libyan domains that were super popular? Is that the .ly?
Yeah, Libya.
And I think in Libya, like, stopped issuing them or supporting them or something like that, and the price, like, skyrocketed.
Yeah.
Created, like, the scarcity thing. And everyone was like, but I want to name my app Dipshitly, you know?
Gotta be taken. Let's confirm.
Who owns... And there's, like, I.O. is, like, a kind of... Oh, that's a country?
It's a country code, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I know.
I can't remember what country it is. Some Pacific island. I don't remember now.
That's interesting. I knew that IO is getting a bad reputation right now. Everyone's like, get off of IO because oh, really? Their like underlying DNS support is bad.
Yeah,
like they've had some major outages at the top level, essentially. Right.
Like, yeah. isn't that like what the like what a GitHub site is? Is that an IO?
Well, IO it may is... have.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was gonna say it may have been. But a lot of people that had IO domains are now like swapping to alternates. So there's a there's a ton of IO is just like super popular for all kinds of like technical dev stuff.
Ah, yeah. Gotcha.
IO belongs to the British Indian Ocean Territory.
Oh, there you go. Uh-huh. All right. Yep. Yeah. And so like the recommendation, everyone's like, stop using .io, just because of. I think it's because of one outage. It's kind of unfair. It'd be like people being like, get off the internet because US East 1 and Amazon went down and it brought down the entire fucking internet once, like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, I mean...
What was that? Do you remember that happening?
I do remember that, yeah.
I figured you did. You guys are on AWS, right?
Not much, actually. We host most of our own on our own hardware, yeah.
Got it.
We try to not host anything in the US, actually. So we have our own data centers in other places, yeah.
Got it.
Yep. When you're in Cayman Islands, you tend to attract a lot of attention.
Is that like tax man attention?
Yeah.
Well, that was one thing I was going to ask was, for some reason, I feel like I've heard of like registrars and registries being more of an offshore thing. Like what... I assume there was a benefit to, well, for one, is your founder from Cayman Islands? And if not, like, was there a benefit to putting the business there that was pretty obvious?
He was not from the Cayman Islands, but he did already live here before he started the company. So we are actually a legitimate Cayman company. We're not a front.
Like, right. Yeah.
Our office is here. We all live here. My boss lived here for like 10 years before he started the company here, the founder. And so, yeah, we are actually a legitimate Cayman company.
There are like some huge incentives here because I remember after I took my first trip down here, which was like when Lofty Labs was still just me being a freelancer, so I was flexible. I was like, what would it take to set up a company down there, right? Because I knew you had, like, immigration's really, I don't know if I'd say it's bizarre. It's just super strict here. Like, it is hard to get even, like, residency on it. Or do they even grant residency anymore?
They started again.
Okay. So very recently. But, like, the people have been here, like, 30 years and still, mm-hmm. like, could just, sorry, Bill. We don't need an optometrist anymore. We're good on those. Like, this is an entire country that's like, what, 70 or 80,000 people?
Yeah, not even that many. There's only 25,000 Canadian citizens.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so the numbers I heard are probably like that plus the cruise ships when they're imported.
Right, yeah. I think 25,000 Caymanian citizens.
Citizens,
right?
Got it.
But
okay.
The population of the three islands together is, I think it's close to 60,000 or something.
Okay.
Seems like that'd so be like Farmington.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and so you can imagine how delicate like the economy would be.
Yeah,
because like you guys have to desalinate your water.
Right.
There's no food grown on the island.
No.
All that shit comes in a
coconuts.
Shipping container. Yeah, coconuts, and roadkill iguana.
Do you count iguana as food? I don't know.
It's like tropical squirrel.
Yeah, that's how they're pretty hated here, aren't they?
They are.
I think it's cool as shit because an iguana will just run across the road, but people here hate them.
Yeah, the green iguanas, right?
The blue iguanas are in
danger. They're
the rock iguanas, yeah.
Uh huh.
Yeah, there's a Cayman blue iguana, and this is the only place in the world where it lives. It's the only native iguana here, and the green ones are actually
non native.
They're non native, yeah.
They're invasive, yeah.
Yeah, invasive. And there's actually a cull going on right now for green iguanas.
Gotcha.
I remember reading about that. It's just like it's open season for iguanas.
Yeah.
You need to do it Texas style and let tourists come to Cayman and fly around in helicopters and shoot iguanas with high powered rifles from the helicopter.
That's what we do to the pigs.
That's how they cull in Texas. Get them pigs.
Yeah.
I'd go to Cayman just for that.
iguana
shooting.
People,
I don't think that would go over well here. They don't have guns here.
It's much less exciting than iguana call here. They just use like a noose on a pole.
Oh really? Yeah. They just run around and ring them by the neck.
Yeah.
Sell them to PetSmart or something.
Yeah. No, I don't think they make it.
Just ship them to Florida. There's room for them in the swamps of Florida, right?
But they're all over the. Although I haven't seen one this trip yet, which I was kind of, maybe the coal is working.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, seriously.
Because I remember like almost getting shit on a lot the first time I was down here because they hide in the trees and they will like shit all over you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, they were everywhere.
It's brutal. Like it's a serious animal turd. Animal. It's like, I mean, have you guys? We live in Arkansas, so you know like when the geese migrate, like goose poop.
Oh, I hate
like how serious those bombs can be.
Yep.
It's like they're reptiles that poop goose turds.
Yeah, yeah.
At a tree, but they're camouflaged and silent in a tree. and lionfish are also invasive here, and that's the other thing that I've heard people just absolutely hate with a passion.
They do, yeah.
They hate eat lionfish. We were talking about this yesterday. Yeah. Like you can get it at any restaurant. It's a poisonous fish, and I don't think it actually tastes that good. You have like the whole Caribbean out there. It's not like a top choice fish,
right?
No, it's
not top choice.
But still, like, it's at lots of restaurants here because people are like, yeah, fuck those fish.
Do you just feel obligated? Like, is it your responsibility to eat a certain quota of lionfish?
Yeah, yeah. At least 4 lionfish tacos per week.
It's like a mandatory military service. Uh-huh. Like, you've got to, everyone's got to do their part.
It's a condition on the work permit.
Yeah. But yeah, that reminds me. You know, we're back off the tangent. We're gonna get back into something. But yeah, it's really hard to get citizenship here. Oh, it's like impossible to get citizenship. Hard to get permanent residency. They weren't even doing it for a long time, and it's hard to get a visa. And so it's all work related. And I looked, and like they were giving, like the Canadian government was giving pretty significant like tax benefits or credits. Someone went by in a very nice car.
Fast and furious.
Yeah. but
they'll make the lap of the island in a minute. We'll hear him again.
Yeah, he'll be in Georgetown in like
running down an iguana.
Yeah. But they were given, I think it was like, I don't know, $10,000 in like monthly credits for like technology startups specifically. But you had to for that particular program, like a certain percentage of your staff had to be Comanian born.
Yep.
So they're doing a lot to make sure that they like create jobs for citizens before they create jobs for expats and things like that.
Yeah, definitely.
And it was like significant. I want to say it was like, I don't know, like 30 or 40%.
Yeah, I don't know the percentages.
Do you guys have the same restriction that you?
I don't think we do. Actually.
If you're not taking that check, you may not have to. But
yeah,
It's interesting, just a lot of that kind of stuff. But yeah, so they do have some incentives. There are incentives to start companies down here, but it doesn't make it easy.
No,
because
they easy.
Yeah, because like they are fucking, they get to be choosy, as choosy as they want. You know?
And there's some requirements. Like you can actually do it, and there's an easier path for technology startups here. But there are some requirements, and like one of them is that you can't earn money physically here, right? So your income has to come from off of the island, right?
Got it.
Your business can be based here, and you can be based here, but so your income cannot come from here. So
you have to be Robin Hood.
Yeah,
apparently. Yeah.
Your income has to come from out of country, but then you have to leave it all here.
Right, yeah. Like, take it from those people and give it to these.
And you have to give it all out in payroll to people that live here.
Yeah.
Or just pay them
a plan, really.
Yeah.
Really.
So I don't know. I think that's pretty cool. Obviously not a reproducible plan, but you've been here for a while. It seems like it's pretty rad.
Yeah.
I have a perk. There's upside for me, in my whatever trip this is down here, but, I need to go by your office.
Yeah.
I haven't been yet, but, go get some salmon for breakfast or something like that.
Yep. Yep.
How many devs do you guys have on that team now?
Well, we've kind of split a little bit into a few different teams, but in the office total, we have probably 10, 11, I think, something like that here.
Yeah.
Yeah. split amongst a few different teams now. We have a few different products we're working on. So
yeah, you got like corporate stuff and like consumer facing stuff,
right?
And people split around it. You're telling me like Tosh was telling me an example of like a kind of product. You guys recently, you just built a a redirector, like a redirecting service. So you built like a lot of, well, I know you've got a monolith over there, but you build a lot of microservicey like things. It may not be implemented as a microservice, but
well, we're that's what we're trying. That's our current goal, is to, you know, to help split the monolith, because it's starting to become an impediment.
And Alan and Tyrell will appreciate this. You got an opportunity to build a microservice, and what'd you build it in?
Yeah, Go, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, it was nice. It's really nice, especially the whole deployment procedure is so nice.
Yeah.
After dealing with a gigantic Python project, deploying the Go is like, that's really nice.
So here's the binary, bro.
Yeah. There we go.
So most of the,
I'm done.
So the Python stuff you're building, that's not like we're stuck in web land largely. But I would imagine the nature of what you're building in Python is definitely, I mean, you're not building it in Django, are you, or anything like that?
We do have a lot of it is web stuff, yeah.
Okay.
Cuz we do have a registrar too, so we do have a public facing site.
Sure.
And that's all. But we don't do it in Django, unfortunately. We use Pyramid, actually.
Wow. Okay. I have not actually used that one at all.
No, I've Tosh seen Tosh is like the only.
The only actual physical person I've met that's actually written something in Pyramid.
Yeah.
But it's out there. It's real, you guys.
People are using it.
Yeah. I've always just seen people or heard of people inheriting a Pyramid project or something. But
yeah.
Well, obviously Pyramid, you're like one of the main maintainers then, right? Open source.
Are you a core contributor?
I have made some contributions to Pyramid.
There you go.
Is Pyramid, is it derivative of pylons, or is it the other way around?
Yeah, it is pylons, essentially, I think.
Okay,
I think, don't hold me to this, but I...
You are held to it. It's committed to disk at this point.
I believe the story is it started out as pylons and then it changed to Pyramid. Pylons became the overall, the parent project, and Pyramid became kind of the web framework. I think that's right.
Got it. I thought it was more of like a fork situation.
No, it's not a fork, I don't think.
People took their framework and went home kind of
thing. I don't think so.
From a cursory internet search, that is correct. It was pylons, then Pyramid.
Got it.
Yep. It's not bad. We honestly don't use much of the framework, though. It's fairly minimal.
We use
it, you know, think of it like something like Flask or something where it doesn't, we don't use it for a lot.
Okay, I want to do some geographic technology tests. When you Google pylons, Tyrell, what's the first thing?
I won't do such a thing. You mean when I start page pylons? I'm kidding.
When you DuckDuckGo pylons.
When I DuckDuckGo pylons.
I'm DuckDuckGo and he's browser. Start paging over there.
Pylons?
You need more?
Yes, I'll give it, yeah.
All right.
Sorry, we're pouring more champagne over here. This was all just a diversionary tactic.
So what you're wanting to know, like,
I'm just curious. If you don't use Google, it's not going to be...
Let me hit Google.
Because I got, like, Pylos.
So much fish.
Which is a place.
It's a really hot mic.
And I got Pylon from Merriam-Webster.
See, I've got incognito window, so it has no context other than... my IP.
I'm just curious if you got like actual pictures of like power transmission.
Yes, transmission tower is my top right area.
I was almost certain because there's stuff like this that comes up all the time, and I always like I'll search for something pretty like vague.
Dude, back to Go. Like Go, trying to search for anything in Go and not add the lang on the end is impossible. Yeah.
And a lot of people don't, when they write the content, they don't add the lang on the end. Yeah. There's just so much content that no one can fucking find.
That's my biggest complaint, really. Yeah,
about Go?
Yeah.
No, well, I mean, that's your...
The name, basically.
Let's start a rally to change the name of Go.
I just want us to not have to have github.com as our directory. That's all I want. No.
Someone made one, right?
Like it's. I'm fine with it not. The directory structure requires GitHub to be a directory.
What if it's in Bitbucket?
Right.
Or something?
You don't. In Bitbucket. Yeah, I guess you could. But
We actually use Bitbucket. We're the rebels of the Python world.
Well, I mean, you use Bitbucket for your Go stuff. So then you have a GitHub directory and a Bitbucket directory.
Yep.
That's exciting.
And you're like, and you're
well, and I have some of my personal repo too. You can use it with any repository.
It just uses the domain,
right.
For like
yeah,
any.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's like a namespace.
Yeah, I chuckle at the use of the domain.
Do they invert it like Java? Is it like
they do not.
No. Com.github.
So you actually when I first saw it, I thought, oh, we're importing it directly from the web. No, it is not from the web.
Yeah.
Sorry, I choked on my champagne.
Well, with Go, what is it, 1.12 now? They have
champagne
the whole
problems.
Modules thing.
Yeah.
So no more GoPath.
That's good.
True.
Oh,
that
wow.
was something that
okay.
did kind of drive me nuts.
I don't know about that yet. That's,
I need to write more Go.
Yeah, I haven't written Go in a while, so that's exciting, because that's what I always tell everyone. When they're like, oh, I'm fixing to have to write a Go program, like, well, cool, as long as you know a little bit of C, it's pretty awesome, except for the Go path.
Yep.
Like, you'll spend a day trying to sort that out and understand that, but
especially with multiple projects,
yeah,
that's where that kind
yeah,
of
yeah.
stuff
yeah.
always gets. I'm so spoiled with virtual environments in Python,
totally,
and all the path handling that happens for you, mm-hmm. and the ability to just like totally different set of things around my path when I switch from project to project. I'm sure that there's a way to do that cleanly in Go. Mm-hmm. I just haven't found it yet.
Yeah, environment variables, you can switch your Go path, but it's not really pleasant.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's how, I mean, Python has a Python path, right? That's what, that's like the basis of virtual environments, but
you can write a Go virtual.
What you need. Yeah. Someone needs to pick up the torch and go create the environment variable bash script, like switcher for Go.
Well, now we have modules though in Go, so we don't have to worry about it as much anymore. Optionally
modules.
Yeah, with 1.12, which will be nice. Yeah.
That's cool.
But it's not quite there yet exactly.
There's
some fairly critical pieces that don't quite work right.
Oh, got it.
Got it.
Yeah. I'm going to have to pick up Go again. It sounds like I guess I should have assumed it was moving, but you know how it is, like with code stuff, you put it down and like picked up PHP again the other day.
Oh.
That still sucks. Yeah. That hasn't moved. my test failed then because I just feel like I Google like super vague shit and then I get like the developer version, like Sentry or something like that. I'm like, how did I get the... How is that the top result on Google?
Yeah.
And I was like, this shit's tailored to my activity. So when I searched for pylons and I got a like picture of a telephone pole, I was like, oh shit, it's because I'm like out of the country. I've tricked Google. They can't figure out who I am.
Yeah, what's going on there?
But I was wrong.
Telephone poles and then two people with their hands in the air, or two sculptures of things with their hands in the air. It's pretty creepy.
Oh, I didn't see that. Mm. I just got telephone poles and then the pylons project.
Yeah.
There it is.
Two human-shaped pylons were never built, but they might be. That is literally the last part of it, the domain for the image for the article.
But they may.
I mean, at this point, it has to go in the show notes. I mean, obviously.
Someone make a note of that.
Yeah, find that. Drop that
show notes. I'm going to put it in there right now. Oh, it's from Reykjavik. Oh, wow.
Mm.
These guys are crazy. Iceland. All right.
I'm going to need a visual reference.
That's what happens when your island is cold instead of hot. You turn your power pylons into people.
Into giant people.
Yeah.
Here they just make an enormous trash pile. That's the highest point on the island.
Yeah.
I found out that it's called Mount Trashmore.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was looking for it on Google because I had heard stories about the giant trash mountain.
Yeah.
And have you read the Google reviews for Mount Trashmore?
No.
You should go read it.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of Canadian slang. And I thought that was funny because I've been watching enough Letterkenny that I was like, oh, this is definitely, these are Canadians that are making these jokes. I kind of picked up on it a little bit. What, so there's a lot of Canadian people here too.
There are a lot.
Is that,
of Canadian
like
people,
I've found that for it being a British territory, I meet more Canadian people here than British people.
Definitely, yeah.
And then like just Americans,
yeah,
a lot of them. But
yeah, I think if I remember correctly, I think the ranking of the foreigners here is like Jamaicans are the number one,
right?
And then it's pretty close actually between Americans and Canadians. They're, I mean, within a few hundred people, I think, of each other. And then, British after that. And then a huge mix of
everything.
Everyone else.
Like, literally everything. Yeah. You meet people from all over the place here. And the cool thing about this being there being so much Canadian influence here is the wide accessibility of poutine on the island.
Yeah, so nice little benefit. So
Tyrell and Alan, like, yes. Prepare your shit because I'm coming back on a poutine kick, like I always do this time of year. I'm right. Like, why don't we have poutine?
I'm excited for
poutine. I look forward to it.
Last year, I was like, I was going to start a poutine food truck.
Food truck. There already
is. It's probably
a poutine
bullshit,
food truck.
Though. It is bullshit.
It is.
It's like they put truffle oil on it and they tried to, like, oh, we made it good, though.
No, it's not that level. It's reasonably legitimate. It's like beaver tails, which are like, it's a dessert, and then poutine. It's
not actually a beaver tail?
No, it's not a true beaver tail.
Oh, okay.
That would be.
I had to pet beaver.
Like, problematic.
Is that like,
did
a,
you really have
is that
a
like a bear claw?
I had to pet beaver growing up.
It's kind of like a funnel cake, but flat, and then they cover it with all kind of other sugars.
Hang on a second. Alan had a beaver growing.
That's
up?
Right. That's right.
I had to pet.
That almost slipped by.
I had to pet beaver. Yeah, I had to pet
do
beaver.
Tell.
Yeah. Her name was Missy. She was a little orphan, and a hound dog of my uncle's brought her up in the yard. And so there were these two hound dog brothers, and one was more gentle, you could say, than the other one. And so he, like, didn't murder said baby beaver. And so we raised her. And that's...
How long did you have a pet beaver?
Several years, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
You're not even Canadian.
I know, but I do watch Letterkenny and Schitt's Creek, though.
close enough.
That's wild. Thank you for sharing that. I could believe that was going to slip by. And
we can
pump the brakes. Yeah. So
you guys didn't? I mean, yeah.
In that time, though, I've confirmed that beaver tails are the Canadian donut.
Yeah, I'm looking
thing.
At this.
I've hit this on the slacks.
Well, now I want a beaver tail.
I know. Well,
I want a beaver's tail.
I scoffed at this food truck because I was just like, "You're this beaver tail food truck, and who knows what that is?" And you just happen to also make poutine. Oh, you're very Canadian, and I did not know how Canadian you were. You were so Canadian, you were like under the radar.
Yeah.
All right, I didn't know that this food truck existed, so. I'm gonna have to check that out.
Because there's
been a couple places. I don't care.
It was at the Washington County Fair last time.
People can compete. I don't even care. I don't want to do it if someone is competing.
Yeah, you don't want to monopolize it. Then you'll just fuck it up. You know,
Beaver Tails Mobile Fayetteville. Oh man,
I'm gonna try it out. Because there was. I'll tell you, it was good. I don't know if you ever had this, Tosh, but someone was doing a breakfast poutine. That was one thing in a food truck. That was actually pretty sweet. And instead of gravy, it was like hash browns and cheese curd, and then hollandaise sauce instead of gravy.
I'm into it.
Yeah. It was pretty legit. Yeah, it wasn't poutine though.
Yeah, no. Canadians would be offended by that.
Yeah, they shouldn't have called it that. Yeah. But it was pretty good.
Yeah.
So that's might be my favorite thing about this island is like it's just an appetizer. Like on almost every food menu.
Yeah, it's nice.
See it everywhere.
It's a nice benefit.
Yep. Again, be prepared, guys. I will be going to Whole Foods and buying giant bags of frozen cheese curds.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll do it at the office. That'll be fun.
I have a friend from Wisconsin who always brings cheese curds when he comes down. So, those are.
When is your friend coming?
he came like. 2 months ago, and we've eaten all those cheese curds, so...
We missed it.
It's true.
This is funny, because last time he came, he was just like, tell me all the Wisconsin stuff you want me to bring down. So I was like Googling, what do I get from Wisconsin? And so I give him this list of stuff, because he was like really emphatic. He was chasing me down. He's like, for real, I need to bring a ton of stuff this time. And one of them was bratwurst, so I was just like, oh, and some... Wisconsin bratwurst, and he bought me Johnsonville bratwurst. And I was like, "What?" But Johnsonville is from Wisconsin, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
But I was also like, "I can go buy you these at Harps right now if you want."
He probably had the head scratcher moment. Maybe like, "You guys don't have Johnsonville down there?" Well, all right, there you go.
Everything else was legit and largely Wisconsin only. The bratwursts were just yield bratwurst. Not bad.
Mm. Can't hate on bratwurst.
There's a homemade sausage maker here as well, which is pretty nice.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it makes homemade sausage in there.
Wait, is it the...
Iguana,
you know. Is it iguana sausage?
Mm. No, just straight up legit regular sausage. Is he... Where's he from?
Ireland.
It's the Irish guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Yeah.
The Irish guy. I love that. Yeah. It's just like, oh yeah, the Irish guy, because you got one of them.
Actually, I've met several Irish guys on this island, but yes, I went last year and had that... It's legit sausage.
Yeah, it's good.
Thanks, guys, for tuning in for the Friday Afternoon Deploy foodie blog and developer podcast. It's 6 o'clock here, and I haven't eaten.
So on to more Friday Afternoon Deploy topics. Tosh, how much do you hate JavaScript?
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, a lot.
All right.
I thought I was told that was a requirement, to be honest.
It is.
Yeah.
Unless you're Blake, and then we just have you here because you're the only one who doesn't.
You either have to hate it or just like love it so much we have to have you on here.
Okay.
To explain yourself.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't say that I hate JavaScript per se, but I do hate the JavaScript environment and build environment especially.
Yeah.
The whole tool chain is just a dumpster fire. Like, it's ridiculous.
It never should have left the browser, is what I always say. Like, it's fine for building a UI in my browser, and I get that. I accepted that a long time ago. It's just
I posit that it's still only mediocre at that. We just don't have another option.
Well, because we were like, how do we put this crap on a server now and all that and everything, and haven't really perfected. And now how do I build mobile apps with the thing? And
it's a language that requires a triple equal sign operator.
Because undefined and null are two different things.
Yeah, well, and there's a couple other weird cases on there that other people have beaten to death, so I guess there's no need for me to do it. But the point that I'm making is that how many fucking programming languages out there have not needed to solve that problem of, like, do we need kind of equals and, like, actually definitely equals?
Yeah, like all of them, I think, right?
Yeah, it's the only one.
So I'll have to reveal my intention in bringing that up. I brought up JavaScript.
Your hand.
I will now be transparent. The reason I brought up JavaScript was because I actually I was talking with Sarah earlier this week. We were having just like one of those kind of building them relationships kind of conversations. We're talking about our communication styles. It wasn't communication styles. It was like how our brain processes stuff, because she was sending me a list of things that needed to be done. And so now that I know that she listens to the podcast so frequently, I was able to draw this analogy. I said, so my brain works like Python. It's linear. It has a
global interpreter.
Right. And I was just like, whereas your brain works like JavaScript. You're asynchronous. And there's promises out everywhere, and you're just kind of waiting for the callbacks. And she's like, I understand that enough because of the podcast to be a little insulted, but I think...
I was going
to
say, that she was goes, a
but
bad
I think
move.
It's accurate. No, it was good, because I was just like, it doesn't have all the, like, all the things we pick on about JavaScript, but just the synchronous versus asynchronous. And I was able to draw that analogy. And so, I didn't pick a fight. I didn't. But what was funny was, when she realized what I was trying to communicate about the differences, she was just like, oh, that makes complete sense now. And I was like, yay, that's really true. Funny.
And
dug my way out of that one.
For everyone who's tried to write JavaScript to interface with Python, you know that, like, sometimes communication is tricky.
It's true.
Yeah.
And thanks for tuning in to Friday Afternoon Employee Relationship Self-Help food blog. No, but that's funny. You should have told her that her brain worked like Golang, though. Would have been...
Golang is asynchronous. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we haven't described Golang enough.
That's true. That's true.
To settle that home. But she'll know. And so when I say, hey, I need you to be a little less Golang and just give me one thing at a time, first in, first out, she'll understand.
You know, that reminds me, Ty, I asked a couple episodes back, I said,
first
I don't know if Paige actually listens to the podcast. And I said that'll be the test. She'll come to me and tell me if she heard that. She didn't. I was talking to her today about something. I was like, I was making sure the episode published. I didn't have my phone on me. I was like, hey, will you see if there's the new episodes out? And she was like, oh, hang on, just scroll. It's asking me to download a bunch of stuff. I was like, you don't even fucking subscribe, do you? Yeah. And so she pulled it up and she was like, well, I'm just gonna like I'll catch up on it. And I was like, it's like 19 hours of that shit. Please don't catch up on it. So confirmed. Paige has not listened to the podcast.
Alyssa does when I ask her to.
There you go.
And, you know, but that's yeah. Tyrell's the odd man out here, the lucky one, I'll say, I guess.
I'm a little behind. I'm still catching up.
You're still catching up. Yeah. That's fair. Yeah. That's fair.
Did a little traveling and then lost track of my podcast, so I'm like buried now.
You know, you made a good podcast recommendation to me, not for Cast itself, but the Overcast podcast app is awesome. I don't know if you guys use it. When you listen to our own show, but Overcast is pretty sweet.
I've actually changed now too. I switched.
You recommended one. Yeah. Well, shit. What do you want now?
I'm sure it's good for you.
I mean,
it's like JavaScript frameworks.
Yeah. No shit. So okay. Well, Overcast is cool. So what do you want?
Yeah, that's cool. I switched to Castro now, which is really great.
Oh, you know what? I fucked that up. You recommended Castro to me. Okay. Someone else recommended Overcast.
Oh, I used to use Overcast too.
And
Overcast
I got it mixed up. Yeah. I'm using Overcast. I haven't tried Castro yet.
Oh, yeah, they're both great, and they should send us money.
That's true.
Boom, good idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. This is part of the show.
They can
where
do the ad roll right here.
Yeah.
This would be a great place for an ad roll. Also, I meant last in, first out, like popping the stack. I said that backwards.
That really bothered you.
Yeah. Oh, it bothered me so much. Because that's like the fifth thing I've probably said in the podcast and then realized like 5 seconds later, like I said the wrong thing. And I just kind of waited patiently like, oh, I have to correct myself in this podcast now. And then didn't. And I'm just like, all right. So I was just like, no.
It's good that you did fix that. You know that our audience is very discerning.
Yeah, yeah. I'm tired of getting all the hate tweets.
Yeah, yeah. So we got ahead of it.
Don't tweet me, Ben.
Speaking of Ben, we should get him to come hang out with us.
Oh, for sure.
I see that he's into the show, and I haven't seen him in a while. But interesting kind of background on that guy. Python developer, also drives a truck. Just a cool dude. So super I know sharp. Ben's listening. Ben, you should come hang out.
You should come hang out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who do you guys have lined up for next week?
Someone special.
So we definitely have it planned. Yeah.
It's so planned.
Yeah. I'll be on an airplane when you guys are recording next week, so I'll miss it. So I get to do one of my favorite things is listen to the show as an outsider and hear all the shit that I wasn't in the room for. So should be fun. I'm sure you guys are working on something great. It's gonna be great. Tyrell told me it's going to be our best episode yet. So
no pressure. But
yeah.
No. That's what he told me. I heard that. I don't know.
It's what I've promised, and it's what I will deliver.
So say we all.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's been good though. I've enjoyed it. Even I think I would listen to it even if I didn't have like a a personal connection or whatever.
That's we have an opportunity now to ask someone who's been a listener, right? Because a lot of the people that we've had on the show have been kind of around it since the beginning, and they're locals, you know. You're as far our first confirmed international listener, although I know we have a bunch in the stats, but we've never actually met one. You've listened to it and enjoyed it. We talk a lot about Python, but we try and keep it kind of open to other languages and stuff.
Yeah, it's good. I like it.
I think that's a fun thing about the show. There are Python podcasts out there, but so if you're into that, there's plenty to find of it. But like in our office, our team, we're all polyglots, and so the shop talk that we have around the office is all about lots of different tools and languages, and so we thought that's what we do best. So why not talk about that? And I think a lot of people do that.
Mm-hmm. None of the others teach you that beaver tails are the official donut of Canada.
That's because we're cultured, also.
Oh, so right. We're yeah. So nice. Cultured.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm drinking champagne.
I'm drinking an now. Irish ale.
I just finished a Topo Chico.
Oh yeah, we need to finish that off. Yeah. More bubbles. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, Topo Chico Irish ale.
I love how like just crisp and clear the sound is on that. This mic is very hot.
Man, that Yeti is something.
It's really it really sizzles. You hear this? Yeah, let me get it right up on there. It's delicious. Dom P.
Oh, excuse me.
Oh, snizzle.
It's not Dom P.
it's like that's all you drink in Cayman, apparently.
Yeah, that's the only thing they sell here.
That's what they sell. It's like they desalinate the water, they make you drink coconut milk or Dom P.
Yeah, you know, I can get something else, but we just went to the gas station. That's all they had.
Yeah. And I drank the bottle they gave me at immigration when I was coming through. So, are there other dev shops on the island, or are you guys about it as far as like?
There are a few, yeah. A lot of the banks have dev teams here, but most of that's like Microsoft World stuff. That's
it's
Microsoft.
Yep.
So I don't get into that much, but there are a few smaller shops here, but generally very small, like 5 people or less.
Got it.
That kind of thing. A few financial firms have a few. Tech people, but not necessarily dev shops, you know.
You've got some of the big, like the big accounting and consulting firms here as well. Mm-hmm. I've noticed. I don't go down there much, like to the proper city down there. But yeah. Like, you've got like Ernst & Young and PricewaterhouseCooper and like the big consulting firms, which usually have at least some portion of like digital development arms in the companies, but I'm sure that they're here for finance.
Yeah,
they're
sure.
Here for accounting, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I figure there's a little bit of that going on. So there's some of the big corporate dev business. Also, something else I think that is worth talking about specifically about Cayman is the banking stuff.
Yeah.
Because that shit is not what you are led to believe it is from outside this country.
It's definitely not.
I walked by a Cayman.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, exactly. I walked by a Cayman bank today at a strip mall, and I was like, I have to mention that, like, it's not the opulent, like, there's not, like, a big overhead door that flings open for you to slide billions of dollars of cash into it.
No, no.
How hard was it?
They don't even accept cash at the bank.
That's right. You couldn't deposit a $20 bill into your account, Tosh, right. If you wanted to, right?
No, no.
You not have to unless bring, like, I have a paper
bring,
trail.
I bring a paper trail of where it came from. Yeah. Huh. Literally, that's not an exaggeration. That is literal. Like, I went to the bank. Okay, so this is how it is here. So I went to the bank, and when we were moving, and so we had to pay a deposit on our new apartment. And so I went to the bank, and I got a deposit first month's rent or whatever, you know. So it was a decent amount of money or whatever. But and then we had to pay it in cash. And so I go, and I don't remember what happened. There was something. And I couldn't pay it for a while, and so I didn't want all this cash on me, so I took it back to the bank, and this is like an hour after.
So you had
just
gotten the cash from the bank?
Yeah, like an hour before, you know? And so I go back in to the same lady that just gave me the cash, and I'm like, I just need to deposit this, and she's like, do you have like the I don't remember what they call it, whatever, the proof of where it came from, proof of source or something, is what they say, I think, and I'm like, what? No, like, I just got it from you, like, an hour ago. She's like, no, I needed the paperwork from where I came from. I'm like,
I'm sure that if you have enough money, that there is a side door somewhere.
Oh, I'm
sure. Like, the things that you hear about it just led me to believe. I remember I came, the first time I was down here, I went to go get some Cayman dollars, CI, and I went with your wife, I went with Courtney to the bank, and I walked in and I was like, oh, this is a fucking letdown. Like, I walk into a Cayman Island bank and I expected someone to actually hand me a bottle of Dom P.
Yeah,
and like
yeah.
It, like marble and like I expected it to be like what Donald Trump builds
right.
On an island. But it was like, no, it was like water stained drop ceiling. And like, and you couldn't even go in the place without an ATM card to like get through the doors.
Right.
It was very bizarre.
So bad. So a guy came to work with us and he opened his account at the wrong bank. Like, we're like, no, don't use that bank. You need to use the other one that's across the street. And so he goes and he's going to transfer his account, you know, and he's like, I just need to transfer my money from this account to this other account I've set up over here. And they're like, okay, and it costs like $40 to make this transfer. And he was like, what? Like, it's across the street, you know? And, yeah. And, so it turns out the way they transfer money from the bank across the street is they write out a cashier's check of the equivalent to, and have a guy run across the street and deposit it for you.
So you had to pay the courier.
Yeah, the courier fee. Right? It wasn't a wire transfer fee.
So yeah. It's not the banking industry of Cayman is. I'm sure some of that's true, but it's not. Yeah. That's not like the reality of it out here.
No, unfortunately. And there's you basically like, have to sign your rights away to open an account here.
Yeah, and there's American. A flock of wild chickens living in the parking lot of every bank. Mm-hmm. And also every other business here.
Right, yeah.
Fighting the iguanas. That's,
yep.
I was actually going to bring up the chickens because I know chickens are all over Hawaii. And I was wondering if somehow
all over the place. What's the deal with the chickens? Well.
I don't know.
I
know they're everywhere.
I walked by. We were walking this morning, and I walked by the pizza place, XT's down the corner. Mm-hmm. And there was a whole family of chickens, little baby chickens. And so Paige and Henry were checking them out. But I noticed that like someone had spread out chicken feed for them. I was like, okay, they're feeding these chickens. Mm, but I also walked, I walked up pretty close to where your office is this morning. And as I was walking through there, there's a stretch on whatever this is, West Bay Road, that is unbuilt. And it's like really like dense, like jungle almost is what it looks like for, I don't know, like half a block. You know the spot I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's like on the other side of the tunnel up here.
Okay, yeah.
And I could just hear off in this chunk of woods just like hundreds of chickens like in the woods. And I was like, are these wild chickens? Do they just live in the jungle? Like it was like dense forest and you'd expect to hear a toucan or something. But what I actually heard were like roosters and chickens like rooting around in it. So I don't know, but there some people feed them, but they're all over the place. Chickens everywhere.
Yeah, I don't know what the story is on chickens.
People, I don't know everywhere, them, but they're all over the place.
And all the tourists' favorite thing is to go to like Kentucky Fried Chicken and take pictures of the chickens in front of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yeah,
I sent these guys a picture of the Wendy's special menu today.
Oh yeah,
which is it's crunchy plantain fest right now
Your
local Wendy's. That's everyone. Good. So
I mean,
plantains are bigger.
Get that crunchy plantain burger at Wendy's.
I do love a good plantain.
Plantains. As
plantains?
I say here.
Did I say it wrong?
That's what they say here. Plantains. I don't know.
I'm not a huge fan.
You're not gonna.
Yeah.
Back on food, but Jamaican breakfast, I was not a huge fan.
Oh, I'm into the Jamaican breakfast. Yeah.
Is it like? Did I have the bad kind? Did I have the wrong kind? It just tasted like a potato boiled until all the flavor left it.
No, that's about right for breakfast. Yeah. Yeah, but the ackee is the best. Ackee and saltfish. And it's delicious. Yeah. Yeah. Ackee and saltfish, a dumpling, and a boiled green banana. And it's delicious.
That's Jamaican breakfast.
Yeah. You have to get the whole spread though, because they go together, right? So you have the saltfish, which is a very strong salty flavor. And then you have the boiled banana to like mellow out that salt a little bit, you know?
See, I went like straight into the boiled banana and I was like, this is the absence of taste.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that was the palate cleanser.
Yeah,
that's the idea.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
I did it wrong. One more food thing about Cayman. Is that this is the only country where you can eat sea turtle, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's an endangered species, but there's a turtle farm here. And I don't know exactly how it works, but it's like because they're creating so many turtles, there had to be some angle to it, which was like, for every 3 turtles we release into the ocean, we're going to fucking eat one. And so you can eat sea turtle here. And I have had a turtle burger and a turtle steak here. Turtle steak, not good.
No, it didn't seem like it would be really.
No, it was like a $40 turtle steak, and it was just. I felt really bad because not only was it not good, but I was like trying to justify it to myself. I was like, "Well, I get to say that I ate a turtle," and I'm like, "Now I just sound like a fucking prick." Like, well, at least I got to eat an endangered species. You know? But the turtle burger was pretty good.
Yeah,
admittedly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was kind of like it was somewhere between meat and like a mushroom. It was like a portobello burger or something like that.
It's kind of between pig and mushroom. Or something.
Yeah.
Pig and mushroom.
Does that sound appetizing to you guys?
So everything doesn't taste like chicken, but maybe kind of like a mushroom.
Yeah.
It's not great. I'm not sure how that whole turtle farm eating endangered species works, but...
It's something like that. I read
I'm sure it's all above the board.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. We're going to take Henry to see the turtles. We're not going to tell him that that we might eat one. Well, now that I've derailed the show entirely.
Yes, about, that concludes today's episode of First We Feast.
You know, this is, I guess, what to expect if you get me on the podcast on my vacation, guys, is that I'm just going to talk about the food that I ate or didn't eat and drink champagne the whole time. So,
understandably.
Yeah, it could be worse.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a bad vacation so far.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, enjoy some more turtle than you heartless. You
know? Yeah. Get you some meat.
It's been several years since we've had a turtle down.
Yeah. There's other stuff here, too. It's not just turtle.
Yeah.
We have coconuts and stuff.
Coconuts, iguana, and lionfish. Yeah, so. Yeah.
That's the four major food groups in the pyramid.
Well, guys, so I was listening to the podcast, though. Like I said, I'm a few episodes behind now, and I couldn't help but hear talks about Docker and disk space, and I was I was like yelling at the phone.
That's right. I hear you're pretty opinionated about Docker.
I am, yes. After
you don't use Docker, do you?
I don't use Docker. No, we use LXD, and it's amazing. And you should switch immediately.
So this is like LXC is the containers that Docker's built on.
Yeah, that's
right?
Like the
previous
derived from.
Right, derived from
the old school way.
It started out being built on LXC, but I don't think they are anymore.
They made their own thing.
Yeah,
but LXD is where it's at.
LXD,
is it hard to use though?
No, it's very easy. It's super easy.
Really?
Yeah, it has an API and there's a command line interface, and it's really easy. Yeah, it's nice.
Does it like preclude you from using Kubernetes?
Probably. Yep.
But Kubernetes is eating the world, man.
Yeah.
Have you tried it?
A little bit. Sweet. Yeah. I only have 32 gigs of RAM on my machine, though, so I couldn't really run it.
Like, yeah. try it in earnest.
Yeah.
Is it worth... how does it solve the disk space? I have to ask now. We almost concluded the episode, but now I have to know because, legit, I have a 3 terabyte hard drive in my backpack because I was going to run out of disk space on this trip, and I wanted to make sure that I had somewhere to put it.
Yeah, so it doesn't do the whole layer FS thing, right? Like, your drive is your drive. I use UFS.
Does that mean that, does that mean your container storage is all persistent? Like, it's not ephemeral at all?
You can choose.
Okay.
You can choose if you want a persistent storage or if you want ephemeral, So, I use ZFS for backing storage, so... you get all the benefits of ZFS too, which is pretty neat. You have snapshots and all that stuff, and you can do a lot of stuff with that. But I'm not a ZFS expert, but I work with one, so I pick his brain a lot. So is there a way that I can,
That's pretty cool.
Nice. Yeah, it's really nice.
I'm gonna have to try it. I don't know. I haven't actually. You've told me about it before, and I haven't even done the cursory Googling that I should have done to figure out how it works and what the tooling is.
I didn't mean to derail this with technical talk or anything.
That's, I mean, I'm going to ruin the podcast.
But it really is nice. I really like LXD a lot. And it solved a lot of our problems that we had. We had, it's disk-based issues, right? Docker, I would just run every possible cleanup command I could find on the internet. If someone says, this can clean up disk space, I'm just I don't care. I'll run it, delete everything. I need, let's stop eating my disk, It was just out of control, and we were the original project where I first switched to LXD was I built our own internal CI system, CI testing system more than a CI system, to run our unit tests and stuff, and so we were running it in Docker container, and our sysadmin guy is just you have 100 gig hard drive and why is this full all the time? And I'm like, I'm deleting everything I know how to delete. So he was like, this isn't really going to work.
Yeah. It's that thing where okay, we've bought a hard drive twice the size and we bought ourselves 3 weeks, but this is an unfucking sustainable problem.
Yeah.
You're at petabyte scale disk usage here.
Yeah, literally every few months we were just we have to add another 100 gigs or whatever, It's just completely out of control. And we were only running tests in it, right? So we're not doing a lot of...
Wasn't even persistent data.
No.
It was just
I don't know. Yeah.
So LXD fixed it. I'm sold. LXD fixed it, yeah. I'm gonna check it out.
We'll but disclaimer: LXD is it's closer to like a virtual env than Docker is. Okay. It's not a virtual env.
Virtual env or virtual machine?
I mean, I'm sorry, virtual machine.
Virtual machine.
Virtual machine. Yeah.
Got it.
So it's a little bit closer to that. So.
But what's the boot time? Is there like a is there a significant boot time difference?
No, it's really fast. So it like, shares the kernel okay. with the host. So yeah.
Mm, so yeah.
Shared kernel.
It's worth checking out, I think.
It's really nice. I love it. And it's small, very small. Like, if you run, like, Alpine as for your base image or something, like, your container's, like, 4 megs, you know?
That's okay. One last question, yeah. and then we'll call it a show. Yeah. But what is, like, the ecosystem for it as far as, like, access to base images?
So base images...
I don't expect it to be like Docker.
It's nowhere it's near Docker.
Everything is Dockerized.
Nowhere near Docker, right. But the thing is, you don't really need that ecosystem like you do with Docker because it functions much closer to a virtual env. So you already have your Ansible scripts or Puppet scripts or whatever to set up your production and stuff. Well, you just run those on your container.
You do deploy scripts against it.
Yeah, okay. And so it's really, really nice. Yeah, I like it a lot. Mm. And... it has a lot of remote functionality, so LXD runs as a server on your machine, and you can run it on a remote machine as well. And so you can make a connection between the two, and then you can launch instances from your local machine or from any machine to any other remote machine that you have access to, which is really nice, and we do that a lot.
Sounds a lot like kubectl and those kind of things where you can like proxy locally to like a running cluster in Kubernetes.
Yeah, it's really nice, and like I said, we use it a lot for testing and stuff, so... if we have something going wrong with a container, running tests or something, like something's not behaving as expected or whatever, I can just, on my local machine, I can just connect to the remote container and like run bash on the remote container from my local machine and just check out what's going on. So it's really nice. And you're also not confined to the single process model like Docker is, which is nice.
That also sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, because, you know, like I said, we're dealing with a big monolith here, and so we have a lot of stuff, so we ended up, to run it, we had a lot of Docker containers. Yeah. It's like, wow, this is pretty intense, you know, just running tests. But and production too. We don't run our production environment in containers right now, though.
Got it.
Not everything. But for testing, it's really nice because we can just essentially dump everything into a container and run a test. And when we're done, you know, we sort
destroy
an ephemeral container. Yeah. And when we're done, we shut it down and it's gone and there's nothing left. Like
no hard drive space nothing. Occupying afterwards.
Yeah, it's just gone.
It's awesome. It does sound pretty enticing. I'll do some homework. I'll put it in the show notes for people to check out. So yeah. you have your platform now. You can spread the wealth of LXD to the world.
Yeah. Well,
go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, so here's some fun facts that are highly unresearched, but on initial research. So from what I'm seeing, Kubernetes is not happy for much LXC, but HashiCorp has a container orchestration software called Nomad that is meant to work. So, you know, one could replace Kubernetes with Nomad and use LXD containers. From what
and Packer as well. Packer is really nice.
That's right.
Big HashCorp fan.
HashiCorp's good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah.
So
we use Packer, Terraform, and Ansible a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're already there. Like,
yeah.
may as well switch from Kubernetes to Nomad.
Yeah.
You don't listen to that, Sloan.
Doing, of course,
that's not for you, Sloan. Don't actually do that.
We're so close to Kubernetes on that project. Yeah. Don't stop now.
No. Here's Sloan throwing things from here. So,
I can't wait for the stand-up the day after this podcast airs, and Sloan says, so I think I have a new idea for us.
You haven't heard the episode from last week, Tosh.
No,
you're behind. No, but there's a big Kubernetes rollout going on the office that's like very close.
Well, I'm glad I could, you know, last minute.
Yeah, thank you. All right, guys. Well, I think it's time for us to finish off this bottle of champagne and go find some food to eat.
I'd recommend catching a chicken.
Lionfish or some chicken or something like that, or a plantain burger. So
yeah. Or also some endangered species or something.
Well, cool. It was fun. Good luck on the mystery guest that you guys have got me all stoked about.
Oh, so, man. He's so scheduled. He or she is so scheduled already.
Right, yeah.
It's
so because you know, but you don't want to give it away.
They've been confirmed for months.
I didn't mean to assume the gender of the guest. Also, that's great.
They're locked in.
Well, I look forward to hearing it, and you guys go enjoy what sounds like kind of balmy weather for the time of year in Arkansas.
Yeah, not too shabby. It's gonna rain all day tomorrow, so that'll be fun.
We have the same problem here. There's rain in the forecast tomorrow.
Yeah, so, but it won't drop the temperature to like 35 when it rains for you.
That is 100% true. Yeah. I stayed in the pool today with Henry and his floaty while it rained on me. I was like, it's 82. all right, guys. Well, we'll see you in a week.
Sounds good.
Thanks for listening to Friday Afternoon Deploy, recorded and produced by the team at Lofty Labs. If you enjoyed the show, you can subscribe to future episodes via iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. You can also follow at Friday Deploy on Facebook and Twitter for episode previews, live streams, and other behind-the-scenes peeks. Past episodes and show notes on this episode can be found at friday.hirelofty.com. That's friday.hirelofty.com. If you'd like to contact the show, or if you're local to the Northwest Arkansas area and would like to be a guest on the show, you can email us at podcast@hirelofty.com.